We're on text number 38 of chapter 18. If you would kindly respond. Vishayendriya Sangyogad Yatad Agre Mritopamam Pariname Visham Iva Tatsukam Rajasang Smritam Vishaya. Of the objects of the senses, indriya, and the senses. So let's stop here. Kamlesh wrote me a week or two ago that verse in Bhagavad Gita chapter 15 that we are struggling with the six senses which include the mind. So he wanted to know what are the other five senses: ears, eyes, nose, tongue, and skin. Because those are the knowledge-acquiring senses, jnana indriyas, according to Shastra. So each of those has a vishaya, an object by which it is seeking. So what are the eyes looking for? Some color, some form, some shape. The eyes are hankering for that. There's nothing you can do about it. It's hardwired into the system. The eyes want to see something nice. So, how do we purify the sense of sight? Yes, the deity, which is why in ISKCON, Prabhupada insisted that deities have to be decorated gorgeously. Because we're not trained just to look at the deity and to be able to concentrate for a long period of time. So Prabhupada insisted in his temples, there has to be grand decoration, lots of flowers, just to attract the mad mind away from Bollywood. Because how do they make those movies? Lots of colors, lots of movement, lots of action. Why? Because they know. The demons know this also. They know this. People want something for their eyes. And then what do the ears want? Yeah, pure devotee like you, but I'm talking about the conditioned soul. Nice sound vibration. But that also depends on the mode of nature you're in. Because those in the mode of ignorance, what kind of music they like? Boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. You can tell by the sound music where their consciousness is at, right? The different kinds of music tells you the conscious. You can tell me, oh, that guy likes that music, I know where he's coming from. Okay? The tongue looking for tasty things. It's hardwired. It wants to taste. And the hands and the wants to touch nice things. So very nice to touch. So all of the senses, the jnana indriyas, have a particular object that they're hankering for. Let's continue in the synonyms. Samyogat. From the combination. Yat. Which. Tat. That. Agre. In the beginning. Amrita upamam. Just like nectar. Pariname. At the end. Visham. Iva. Like poison. Tat. That. Sukam. Happiness. Rajasam. In the mode of passion. Smritam. Is considered. That happiness which is derived from contact of the senses with their objects, and which appears like nectar at first, but poison at the end, is said to be of the nature of passion. So this is what's going on every day here in this material world. People are pursuing the objects of the senses. They enjoy them, and then what happens? They become frustrated. What's today? Saturday. So it started last night. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. What are they doing? Drinking or barbecue, right? And they're just eating for sense gratification. Then too much. Oh. When they drink too much, then what's next morning? Oh, my head is pounding. Yeah, of course. It's right here in Bhagavad Gita. It was nectar in the beginning, right? Now it's turned to poison. Or they try to have illicit sex, and then the next day they wake up with some disease. It was very enjoyable that night. Then the next morning, you have to go to you have disease. You enjoy any one of these senses illicitly, you're going to suffer. It's nectar at first, it's real good. But then, it's going to turn to poison. Prabhupada's purport is so perfect. Look at this. A young man and a young woman meet, and the senses drive the young man to see her, to touch her, and to have sexual intercourse. There you go. There's America right there. Especially where you two boys are going to school, college, even high school now. This is going on. I'm sure you know many such fools. Yes? Yeah. In the beginning, this may be very pleasing to the senses. But at the end, or after some time, it becomes just like poison. They are separated, or there is divorce, there is lamentation, there is sorrow. Before coming to Krishna consciousness, this was me. I have so much experience of this, personally, before becoming a devotee. That's why I became a devotee. Because I went through this over and over and over again. I became completely disgusted. Luckily, I found Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, I'd still be on this treadmill. Such happiness is always in the mode of passion. Happiness derived from a combination of the senses and the sense object is always a cause of distress and should be avoided by all means. Yes. Ravana was told so many times by so many people, even his own family members, his own brothers told him, give up this attachment for Sita. But could he listen? No. He couldn't listen. He was too attached to the object of the sense. Unfortunately, he should have been attached to Ram. If he had been attached to Ram, it would have saved him. But if he was attached to trying to exploit and enjoy Sita, you cannot. She belongs to Ram, nobody else, not to Ravana. How can the goddess of fortune be enjoyed by anyone but Narayan? Is that possible? It's not possible. That's why Ram had to kill him. Because Sita is Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune. She cannot be touched by anyone but Narayan. So he had to kill Ravana. There was no other alternative. He was trying to do the most sinful thing. Let's do one more verse. Yadagre chanubandhe cha. Sukam mohanam atmanaha. Nidralasya pramadotam. Tatamasam udaritam. Yat, that which, agre, in the beginning, cha, also, Anubandhe, at the end. Cha, also. Sukham, happiness. Mohanam, illusory. Atmanaha, of the self. Nidra, sleep. Alasya, laziness. Pramada, and illusion. Utham, produced of. Tat, that. Tamasam, in the mode of ignorance. Udaritam, is said to be. And that happiness, which is blind to self-realization, which is delusion from beginning to end, and which arises from sleep, laziness, and illusion, is said to be of the nature of ignorance. Let's see what Prabhupada writes in the purport. One who takes pleasure in laziness and in sleep is certainly in the mode of darkness, ignorance. And one who has no idea how to act and how not to act is also in the mode of ignorance. For the person in the mode of ignorance, everything is illusion. There is no happiness, either in the beginning or at the end. For the person in the mode of passion, there might be some kind of ephemeral happiness. You all know what that word ephemeral means? Ephemeral means cheap, superficial, ephemeral happiness. Not anything substantive, very meager. In the beginning and at the end, distress. But for the person in the mode of ignorance, there is only distress, both in the beginning and at the end. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So before we go any further, I just want to tell one little episode from Mahabharata. Can I do that before we go further? So the Pandavas spent their final year in the kingdom of, the final year of their exile, Virat. Very good. And that was the year they had to live incognito. So after that 13th year, they were now entitled to the kingdom. Because when they were banished, then it was told that after these 13 years, then we'll give you half, you know, your share of the kingdom. So they expected, okay, the 13 years is over, and we should now get our rightful share. But everybody knew that Duryodhan wasn't about to do that. Duryodhan wanted war. There was no question of giving back the share to the Pandavas. He still wanted them dead. So in Virat, Krishna came to visit Yudhisthira. Drupada came. And Drupada said, we should send someone to Hastinapur and deliver a message to Dhritarashtra saying, now it's time for you to give the Pandavas their share of the kingdom. So Drupada said, we will send this Brahmin as our emissary. So there was an elderly Brahmin. So he went to the court in front of Bhishma and Drona and Dhritarashtra, Duryodhan. Everybody's there in the court. And the Brahmin says, it is now the Pandavas have executed the 13 years of exile. Everybody knows what you have done to them. You tried to disrobe Draupadi. You tried to kill the Pandavas. You cheated them in the gambling. Everybody knew it. It wasn't a secret. And you've cheated them out of the kingdom. So now it's time for you to give the Pandavas their share. And Bhishma stood up and said, yes, we should do what this Brahmin says. But Karna stood up and said, no way, we're not going to do this. So Karna gave some objections. So after this went back, then everybody's waiting for Dhritarashtra. So Dhritarashtra says, I got to think about this. I'll think about it, and then I'll send my servant Sanjaya to the Pandavas with my decision. So Dhritarashtra says to Sanjaya that somehow or other, go there and make some kind of peace, somehow or other. Dhritarashtra did not say that he was going to give the Pandavas their share. And the reason why was because of? Well, yes, because of Duryodhana. In other words, Dhritarashtra actually wanted to do it, but because of Duryodhana, he knew he couldn't. So that is Dhritarashtra's weakness. He wanted to do it. He agreed with Bhishma that, you know, we should do it. It's the right thing to do. But because of that Duryodhana and his attachment for Duryodhana, he knew he's not going to do what I say. So when Sanjaya went to the kingdom of Virat and spoke to the Pandavas, he spoke in such a way, it's very interesting what Sanjaya said. Sanjaya said to Yudhisthira, you guys are the Pandavas. You should be above this whole wanting a kingdom. You should, of anybody, you should be detached. So why are you threatening war? You're the Pandavas. You're supposed to be above. Show the proper example. So then Yudhisthira spoke in reply. And here's the real thing. Yudhisthira said, yes, what you say is true, but we are Kshatriyas. And our religious duty as Kshatriyas is to rule. Not fight. Fight, yes, only when necessary. But we should have some place to rule. Number two, it is our lawful inheritance which you took away from us. Because they had that Indraprastha, right? And it was cheated away from them. So Yudhisthira said, look, we're willing to forgive what you did to Draupadi. We're willing to forgive everything that you've done to us, namely trying to kill us. We're going to forgive that you cheated us. And then Yudhisthira said, just give us 5 villages. That's all. And we'll be happy. And then Sanjaya also said, and then Krishna spoke. And Krishna said that actually, because Sanjaya again was trying to say, no, you're going to cause this war and everything's going to be lost. And even if you fight the war, you're not going to be able to enjoy afterwards because everybody's going to be dead. So what's Sanjaya was saying, what's the point? Just like Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, one of his arguments, everybody that we wish to enjoy with is going to be slain. It's spoils tainted with blood, that phrase is used. That was one of Arjuna's early arguments. What's the point that it's going to be at the cost of so many lives? So Sanjaya was also saying that, why are you guys insisting on getting your kingdom because you're going to be a war? You guys are going to win. Sanjaya knew, so did Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra knew if there's a war, Dhritarashtra even told Sanjaya, Arjuna alone can win the whole war. Dhritarashtra knew that. He knew that there was no way they were going to come out victorious. He said, and when I think of Arjuna, my God, he alone can defeat the whole army. And they're going to have Krishna on their side? Hello? What is... They knew that Krishna's history was known. So Dhritarashtra even said, Krishna. Now Dhritarashtra wasn't sure that Krishna was God, but he knew, hey, wait a second, Krishna killed Kamsa, he killed Narakasura, he killed all, they all knew the stories in Krishna book, all the demons that Krishna killed, they knew this. So they knew Krishna's he's pretty invincible. So with Krishna on the side of Arjuna and the Pandavas, we don't got a chance. Dhritarashtra knew this. So that's why he's sending Sanjaya that try to make peace, because he knows we're finished, we're done. So Krishna says, after Sanjaya's trying to argue, Krishna says, well, actually, Kshatriya, and you mentioned this, Kshatriya's, one of the Kshatriya duties is to fight. And that's, Krishna gave the argument that that is inherent from the creator, Lord Brahma. The Kshatriyas are allowed to display their might when it comes to right and wrong. So Krishna also said, I fully approve of Yudhishthira wanting his share of the kingdom. This is actually proper from him, that he should do this. So after Krishna spoke, Sanjaya said, yeah, you're right. Because after all, who's Sanjaya's guru? Vyasadeva. So Sanjaya has to be a devotee. So Krishna was fully in agreement when Yudhishthira said, yes, this is our God-given duty. We are Kshatriyas, we are meant to rule, and this is our inheritance. So, and it's very beautiful. He said, we're willing to forgive everything, right? And Krishna also said, when he was speaking, he said, that disrobing of Draupadi, that was it. That's what this whole thing is about. And Krishna even criticized Sanjaya, saying, and even you didn't say anything at that time. What about Bhishma? Did Bhishma say anything?
No.
Nope. Only two people spoke. Who was that? I think it's one of the Kurus. Right. Who was the other one? No, Vidura. Krishna said, Vidura spoke up, and then I didn't know who was it. You say it's Bhikarna? Two people spoke out that saying this is wrong. But Drona didn't speak out, Bhishma didn't speak out, Dhritarashtra. Nobody spoke out. Krishna said, this is the reason. That was big. All right, everybody chant Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you.